This is Audible.
Viral Leadership. Seize the power of now to create lasting transformation in business. Written by Dr. Richard K. Nongard and R.J. Banks. Narrated by R.J. Banks. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved. Foreword by Randy Dobbs, former president and CEO of General Electric Capital, and author of the book Transformational Leadership, A Blueprint to Real Organizational Change. I didn't enter the business world with the idea that I would ring the bell, but between the time I left Arkansas State University in 1972 and now, I have served at the officer level at the General Electric Company and as CEO of General Electric Information Technology Solutions. I stemmed the net loss of $100 million a year from operations, and within 2 years, the business had returned to a small profit of $12 million. An impressive swing in profitability of over $110 million on less than half the volume previously achieved. I was awarded the, quote, business turnaround of the year, unquote, by Jeff Immelt for the entirety of General Electric Company. From GE, I went on to hold the top position at Philips Medical North America, U.S. Investigation Services, Matrix Medical, and I currently mentor senior business leaders, serve as a board member on several boards, and provide various business services via my private consulting firm. My approach to leadership has been the approach of transformational leadership, and above all, I have emphasized authenticity. The turnaround at GE, my success with USIS and Matrix, and my current roles on many boards, and my mentoring are predicated on five hallmarks of transformational leadership, which I wrote about in my 2010 book, Transformational Leadership, A Blueprint for Real Organizational Change. Dr. Richard Nongard understands the value of transformational leadership, the importance of authenticity, and the steps needed to change a culture. In my book, I called this creating a cadre of leaders. In this book on viral leadership, Dr. Nongard shows how a model of transformational leadership can inspire leaders to access the power of the moment and step into long-term success by creating a legacy of related ideas, projects, and solutions that transform even more than expected. Nongard identifies how viral leadership spreads from one person and group to another, making owners, managers, employees, and the community stakeholders by generating buy-in and ownership of the leadership process, along with an enthusiasm for the vision. In this clearly written book, Dr. Nongard and R.J. Banks place their understanding of the four quadrants of viral leadership on top of the foundation of intention and authenticity. It is my belief that this foundation is a powerful key to success as a leader. An authentic leader is a powerful leader, not by might, but through compassion. In my book, I wrote that, quote, to truly succeed in the business world, to become an effective leader, to learn about yourself through your successes and failures, you have to take risks. You have to put yourself in a position to really transform the business and transform yourself as a person. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You must ask for, take, and execute the hard jobs. The authors of this book get it. By activating each of the four quadrants of viral leadership identified in this book, you can step brilliantly into a new future. You will gain creative tools and find ways to innovate, build teams, organize around an idea or event, resulting in buy-in at every level for the vision. The key to creating lasting, long-term success. Signed, Randy Dobbs. Part 1. Lasting Transformation Through Viral Leadership. Chapter 1. Discover Your Cookie and Seize the Moment. Have you ever tasted one of those amazingly delicious DoubleTree Hotel cookies? Now, I'm certain there are many other factors contributing to the hotel chain's success, But here is one observation that doesn't take a Harvard MBA to recognize. These cookies are a huge part of the chain's success and a great lesson in viral leadership. You see, these always warm and fresh jewels of happiness have put smiles on the faces of over 500 million road-weary travelers since 1986. In fact, they did just that to me recently while I was in Houston. Or shall I say, while I was attempting to leave Houston. Let me explain. I spend a great deal of time traveling throughout the country, and even the world, as a keynote speaker and executive coach. Hurriedly running from airports to hotels to venues, engaging in rental cars and typically cold, stale, or vending machine food are a normal fare for this lifestyle. But this is my chosen path, and it's also one that I love. Not on this trip, however, Murphy's Law was trying to get the best of me. Now, the day had started out with amazing potential. I had a fantastic coaching call early in the morning, and my speaking engagement was a huge success with an enormous turnout. But, to my dismay, my presentation went way too long. The crowd wanted more Q&A, and my already tight schedule was leaving me very little time, if any, to catch the last flight home. While sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic, I found myself pondering over why and how things in my personal life had gotten so chaotic. I was behind on my emails. My daughter kept texting me from college with problems that were impossible for me to fix from 500 miles away, and I knew that if I didn't get home that night, my loving wife would be unhappy, and I was really dreading another lonely night in a hotel room. I had been on the road for weeks. I was tired, hungry, exhausted, and I just wanted to go home. I remember the feeling of hopelessness and frustration as today, of all days, TSA decides to add some icing on the cake. Murphy's cake, that is. As the alarms began screaming, beep, 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 I knew that my chances of being home in my wife's arms were looking dimmer and dimmer. "Sir, your camera is giving me a positive," said the agent. And after a second screening and a top-secret discussion between the agent and supervisor, as well as a full and complete search of everything in, on, and with me, I was finally given the green light. But it was too late. As I watched my flight, the last flight of the night, pull away from the gate, I realized I was facing yet another lonely night in a hotel room. Now, once the DoubleTree Airport shuttle dropped me off at the hotel's entrance, I became aware of the pangs of hunger I had ignored all afternoon. Combine a little frustration with pangs of hunger, and it's easy to lose sight of many things in one's life to be grateful for. While at the front desk checking in, I realized that my mouth was watering like Pavlov's dog, and my senses were delighted with the familiar smell of those ever so famous and always delicious DoubleTree cookies. I walked quickly to my room, the fresh hot cinnamon and chocolate cookies now in my possession, and I knew I'd be eating dessert before getting my supper. I still remember sitting on the bed, talking to my wife and stuffing my face with those cookies. Now, she's got a great spirit about her, as always, and assured me that all is well and that she still loves me. I paused, mumbling half-honestly, "At least I have cookies to make me a bit more happy tonight." As I ate the last crumbs from the wrapper, I texted my daughter, kicked off my shoes, I dialed room service for some real dinner, and all was good again, thanks to those amazing DoubleTree cookies. While relaxing and finishing my dinner, I started thinking about how this whole DoubleTree cookie thing got started. I imagined a fluffy and warm-hearted story about a DoubleTree desk clerk passionately sharing her grandmother's homemade cookies with her exhausted guests as they checked in. But after a quick internet search, it appears that the whole cookie idea, which is as prevalent to business travelers as cat memes are to social media, was carefully planned. The idea was most likely conceived in a meeting to build brand loyalty through a nightly turndown service, and it worked. The DoubleTree brand is and has been the fastest growing hotel chain for the Hilton Corporation for over 10 years, and it's still growing. That evening in Houston really sparked my curiosity and intrigue about success. My business brain needed to get to the root of this genius marketing strategy. So later that week, once I returned to my happy home and family, I reached out to the DoubleTree Public Relations and Marketing team to discover the real origin of their delicious cookies. Now, I must admit a tad of disappointment when I found out there was no famous desk clerk who shared her grandmother's cookies. It was a strategic marketing decision, one that was such a simple yet extremely effective gesture of caring, which became so popular, so effective, that every DoubleTree in the world now bakes these legendary cookies on site. Once out of the oven, they're placed in a warming box at the front desk, illustrating and reiterating the brand's welcoming and caring service. I even found them in Beijing last year at the DoubleTree. And even though it was my first trip to China, and I was excited about new possibilities and a different culture, these cookies made me feel right at home. Now, how does giving away half a billion cookies make DoubleTree a forerunner in viral leadership? Is a cookie leadership? No, a cookie is a gimmick. But this cookie has not crumbled for over 35 years. This is amazing sustainability and effective marketing, and it tells us that something good has been cooking at DoubleTree by Hilton, and that's leadership. Viral leadership. Now, much like the DoubleTree cookie concept, viral leadership can be lasting and create a legacy of related ideas, projects, and solutions. These innovative ideas are often sustainable and can even transform far beyond their original purpose. And of course, within the cookie story exists such a transformational idea. After almost 30 years since its conception, the DoubleTree cookie has now transitioned into the 21st century and internet era, even bigger and more famous than ever. A quick Google search finds 22 pages of websites centering on the cookie. There are cooking websites devoted to replicating its amazing taste, several social media discussions organized around the cookie, including a website and Facebook page dedicated just to that cookie. Now, don't mistake viral leadership for a flash in the pan or flavor of the month type of leadership. When the cookie was introduced back in 1989, I was in college. Now, I'm in my 50s and I still choose the DoubleTree by Hilton as my default go-to hotel. Why? Because I know exactly what I'll get. And as simple as the cookies are, that type of consistency fueled a small chain of 25 hotels into what is now one of Hilton's most successful brands. Is there unity around the cookie? Yes, there is. Because leadership that is effective is leadership that is unifying. It spreads from one person or group to another and commonly bonds everyone involved. This practice turns the hotel owners, managers, employees, and even the community into stakeholders of a cookie empire by generating buy-in and ownership of the leadership process and an enthusiasm for the vision. Now, how can this affect a community, you may ask? By getting and staying involved in the community. To date, more than 1,250,000 chocolate chip cookies have been donated to members of the community, from doctors and nurses, police and firefighters, as well as nonprofit groups such as food banks and homeless shelters. During the 2016 and 2017 winter holiday seasons, the brand also celebrated 12 Days of Cookies, a welcoming invitation to both guests and non-guests to stop into any U.S. DoubleTree location and pick up the brand's signature DoubleTree cookie to save for Santa or enjoy themselves. Going viral, in the vocabulary of the modern internet and mass media, refers to anything that unexpectedly and enthusiastically catches the attention of millions of people. It can be a story, A meme, those odd pictures with captions that get reposted over and over. It could be a product, an idea, or even a news story. The viral phenomena may be positive and socially redeeming, or it can be negative, or even morally bankrupt. Some of these are funny and some are more serious in nature. The common denominator is that they quickly catch people's attention, and the recipient is then self-motivated to share it with others. This is how a father who posted something hilarious about his kid on YouTube suddenly garnered millions of views. For example, the Dave After Dentist video now has over 137 million views. This video alone has generated enough money for the family to pay tuition for private school for both David and his brother. Even before the internet, things went viral. Commercials like, "Where's the beef?" became cultural phenomena. That line from a Wendy's commercial even made it into the 1984 presidential debate punchlines and was repeated everywhere as it became part of the cultural lexicon of the 1980s. And of course, the hula hoop craze is a great example of a product going viral, with 25 million being sold in the first 4 months after Wham-O introduced them in 1958. A more modern example of the viral obsession is the Pokemon phenomenon. Starting as a Game Boy game in 1996, which is a portable handheld game console, within 2 years, they advanced to the bigger Nintendo 64 home game console. This led to Pokemon trading cards in 2000, thus developing further into a Pokemon TV channel, Pokemon movies, and Pokemon merchandising. Then, in 2016, 20 years after its original conception, the developers recaptured their original fan base plus an entirely new generation with Pokemon Go. The game utilizes the player's cell phone GPS ability to locate, capture, battle, and train virtual creatures in the, quote, real world. You may recall the viral craze as people of all ages were running around town capturing Pokemon characters. To date, the Pokemon franchise is said to be worth around $15 billion. Viral ideas, inventions, songs, and images, whether their fame comes from the internet or through other forms of recognition, is remarkable. But explosive or temporary fame, the proverbial 15 minutes of fame, is not enough to create a sustaining change. If something catches the momentum of the moment, it is leadership that will create the transformation and successful sustainability. In 2012, Lydia Callis was selected as the sign language interpreter for the deaf community as New York prepared for Hurricane Sandy. During the press conference, the contrast between the dry speaking monotones of Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who articulated just the facts, was in stark contrast with the animated and passionate ASL signer. This legendary broadcast has now garnered millions of video views. She trended on Twitter. Jon Stewart featured her press conference on The Daily Show, and within a week, Saturday Night Live spoofed her role as the provider of information for the deaf community. It wasn't just New Yorkers who were amazed by her skill and entertained by her enthusiasm. It was now the entire country. Lydia Callis was no flash in the pan. Now, although her fame only lasted 15 minutes, she seized the momentum of the moment. She intuitively understood the power of her viral phenomena and took advantage of the opportunity. She resigned her position in the mayor's office and started her own company, LC Interpreting Services. "Interpreting is my calling," she enthusiastically boasts, "and it's very apparent that she loves what she does." Her viral leadership has created a lasting impact that goes beyond the immediate clients she works with. Lydia and her company now provides training in cultural competency, interpreter mentoring, and ASL training for individuals and organizations around the world. Because of her impact that day and the resulting viral momentum she created, signing, which was once a rarity in informational media, now is considered an essential component of emergency communication and has been used coast to coast as a direct result of her influence and advocacy. And yes, viral trends do give us eating Tide Pods and Elf Yourself, but it also gives us people like Lydia Callis. To see the lasting results of her work makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it? Fortunately, for every silly viral phenomena, there seems to be an infinite list of positive phenomena. TED Talks, which has educated people around the globe, is a viral phenomena, and long ago reached its 1 billionth view. Viral phenomena, coupled with effective leadership, has created sustainable fundraising campaigns for illnesses such as ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, through the Ice Bucket Challenge. This viral sensation has included participants from presidents to celebrities and everyday people with a cell phone camera and a bucket full of ice. Yes, it was fun, entertaining, and raised over $150 million. But the real miracle as a direct result of the challenge and the monies it generated was the discovery of the gene that is the cause of the disease. Pat Quinn, who had lost his ability to speak due to ALS, was one of the original founders of the Ice Bucket Challenge. And as a touching example of good karma, Pat has now regained his voice due to advancements that, in part, were funded by the monies he helped raise through the Ice Bucket Challenge. Viral leadership. Mary Barra at GM found her cookie. Mary Barra knows how to seize the moment and has created lasting fame not only for her leadership, but also for General Motors. Later in this book, I'll share some of the leadership attributes of Alan Mulally, the former Ford Motor Company CEO, who took over the reins in the mid-2000s when General Motors and Chrysler were in bankruptcy. What he did then was to steer Ford in a remarkable direction by making the whole company a viral team. But Mary Barra took over the reins of GM in 2014 and serves as the current CEO. Her leadership and tenure are as remarkable as Mulally's leadership and sales. Innovation and change at GM puts her on the track to be one of the most innovative and influential viral leaders in history, leading GM to a point where it is succeeding at what Tesla is only still promising. Barra has created an organization that excels at every level in technology, customer satisfaction, profit making, and has even emerged as a technology leader in self-driving technology and artificial intelligence. You can say she has found her cookie for GM, and that cookie is mass-produced electric cars that are affordable to the masses. Barra's leadership goes beyond her role at GM. She's called for more women to pursue STEM degrees and take leadership roles in business. In a report that she co-authored with Linamar CEO Linda Hasenfratz, she wrote, quote, "If half the population is not playing its full role in groundbreaking fields such as artificial intelligence, self-driving vehicles, advanced materials, and 3D printing, we face a great risk of debilitating our labor shortages and, as a result, slower growth for the entire economy." Mary Barra recognized that we are at a unique time where technology is driving culture, and investing in innovation can bring even a company that a decade ago was lagging into viral success. The Chevy Bolt EV batteries currently outlast a Tesla battery, and GM has acquired technology leaders Cruise Automation to position the Bolt in the forefront of driverless technology. But the most important question is, are customers happy? In 2016, GM enjoyed enormous sales growth and can boast the number one selling pure electric car. As a leader, Barra faced crisis head-on, altering the company's culture at GM by firing more than half a dozen executives following an ignition switch recall that had led to 124 deaths. She took ownership of the problem at GM and honored her promise to correct problems she inherited by making safety a genuine priority, along with implementing systems to flag new problems early on. But above all, Barra has seized the moment by investing heavily in emerging technology and fostering a sincere desire to create the best products on the market. Viral leadership harnesses the momentum of the moment, transforming that awareness, enthusiasm, and excitement into something meaningful and lasting. Viral leadership changes lives and transforms the moment into something sustainable. Pat Quinn did it. Lydia Callis did it. Mary Barra did it. And you too can be the leader who does it for your organization. Chapter 2. Four Quadrants of Viral Leadership. Viral leadership emerges quickly and at any level within an organization. It can be organic and spontaneous, or intentional and directed. Viral leadership can be lasting and can create a legacy of related ideas, projects, and solutions that transform even more than expected. It spreads from one person and group to another, making owners, managers, employees, and the community all stakeholders by generating buy-in and ownership of the leadership process, along with enthusiasm for the vision. There are two distinct themes that you're going to notice throughout this book. First, that business is perhaps one of the most magnificent creations of all time. And second, that effective leadership is viral in nature. Viral leadership ignites others. It creates innovation, and it continues to build upon itself. It creates a culture of engagement, not just among the executives, but at every level. For more than a decade, synergy was the buzzword in business training programs. Synergy is defined as, quote, the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Viral leadership is the synergetic type of leadership that brings stakeholders together, transcends hierarchy, and allows leverage between divisions and resources. As a result, viral leadership creates a sustaining air of contentment and happiness, allowing all parties have a sense of self-satisfaction, contentment, self-worth, and generativity. There is perhaps nothing more satisfying than being both secure in the lasting value of leadership and benefiting from the significance of your efforts. There have been countless career survey group studies over the years that have constantly revealed the number one reason most people are dissatisfied, unhappy, and often leave the company, and that reason is because of lack of recognition. Richard Eggleston, a top executive recruiter for the Morgan McKinley Group, agrees that one of the most frustrating aspects of any job is feeling unrecognized. In my previous book on leadership, I wrote, quote, the heart of transformational leadership is to transform others while transforming oneself, unquote. You have undoubtedly come to this book to either enhance your leadership abilities or to begin developing yourself as a leader. Whichever the reason or motive, your starting point begins with transforming yourself. This occurs by learning not only about leadership, but also learning how to seize the power of now to create lasting transformation in business. The concepts of this book reach far beyond business application, and you'll soon realize that once you enhance your business leadership acumen, you will find yourself becoming a more effective family member, community member, and citizen of the world. Viral leadership, at its core, is about people and about relationships. It's not about doing something to people by doing something with people. Viral leadership is collaborative and joins with others, rather than intimidating others by directing them through negative motivation. Viral leadership is a true form of synergetic leadership in which motivation to action comes from the leader's own growth and enthusiasm and then spreads throughout the organization. This synergy is ripe with new possibilities. Viral leadership is a dynamic leadership that recognizes change as a constant and that, as a result, leadership is an ongoing function of organizational and individual wellness. Viral leadership utilizes processes that have shown efficacy to create lasting change in individuals, communities, organizations, and even in the world. Why do you want to learn more about leadership? What is it that you're trying to transform or develop within yourself? Take a moment right now and clarify your motives. You've come to these pages on a quest to learn more and to enhance your success as a leader. Knowing your reason why will help keep you focused and motivated. Progress, growth, and innovation are all propagated through viral leadership. Knowing why, where, and how you fit in provides a very sturdy foundation to build upon. The when is, of course, now. The doorway to the four quadrants of viral leadership. We begin now at the doorway of the four quadrants of viral leadership. In recognizing the reason to become a better leader, we begin to access these four quadrants. There is an infinite list of reasons driving desire to improve leadership performance. At a basic level, leadership creates security and significance, which are the two primary components of lasting happiness, according to author Robert McGee. Some people may want to enhance their efficacy as leaders because they've become bored or stagnant in their current business. Others may want to enhance their leadership to take advantage of something that perhaps is yet unknown, like changing technology. While yet others study leadership so that they can emulate the great successes of previous leaders. An entire industry of historians who study presidential leadership exists. Some of the best-selling business books have been of the How I Led a Company to Success genre. Think of best-selling author and CEO Lee Iacocca and Jack Welch, who wrote Winning, the Ultimate Business How-To Book. You're now ready for action and to open the door to the infinite possibilities of transformation that can come from mastering viral leadership. Let's move forward into the four quadrants of viral leadership. In creating this book, we have spent countless hours looking at our own experiences managing people and projects. Rob Banks has been a healthcare executive and an entertainment industry executive. And Richard Nongard has been both an educational services CEO and an independent businessman. Through numerous discussions based on our academic knowledge and personal experiences, we have found that viral leadership develops and creates from within a clearly identified set of quadrants. To some extent, this can be a linear process, moving from the first step through the fourth step. Idealistically, this linear structure can help conceptualize moving forward. This linear vantage point gives us a clear pathway to proceed with the rest of our learning. But bear in mind, not only do authenticity and intention undergird every aspect of viral leadership, elements of viral leadership can overlap, coexist, and be repeated at different levels and through multiple transformations. In our configuration, parts of each quadrant may be accessed at any time. Sometimes there'll be overlap in the workings of each. These four quadrants are built upon the essential foundation of authenticity and intention. The four quadrants of viral leadership include viral terms, innovative ideas, ownership and buy-in, and culture of engagement. We begin our quest as a viral leader at creating a viral team. There is no such thing as leadership without others to lead. Although it is possible to hold an executive title or position without engaging others, this is not leadership. The history of business is filled with companies led by innovative founders or executives who refused to engage others. This is often out of proprietary fears, pride, or narcissism. These businesses will not be case studies in this book, because in almost every case, they failed. Ken Lay, the CEO of Enron, John Regas at Adelphia Communications, and Bernard Ebbs at WorldCom are all examples of how authoritarian or totalitarian leadership can also become a fiasco that bankrupts stakeholders and destroys lives. Leadership of any kind only exists with others. There must be followers. In the case of viral leadership, people create the vision as a group or team. Otherwise, it is not leadership, and as we have learned, is then instead a spectacle of failure, often riddled with greed, ego, and corruption. Viral leadership is dynamic and moves to innovate ideas. These ideas can be organic, emerging unexpectedly as opportunities to be taken advantage of. Currently, we often see this in the technology fields as companies and innovations evolve. These can come in the form of spectacular inventions that revolutionize society and create viral adaptation. Apple's Fitbit and Siri, Amazon's Alexa, and Google's AI Assistant are all great examples of current viral innovations. Viral innovation happens at all levels and within any industry. Viral innovation can refer to the assembly line in manufacturing, blockchaining in financial service companies, and virtual reality in the entertainment and psychology industries. Viral innovation can also be found in everyday products, from new drinks like Red Bull to new fads like fidget spinners. Tie Inc., a stuffed toy company, spun viral success into a sustaining legacy starting back in 1986. A few years later in 1993, they created a viral frenzy with Beanie Babies. Their legacy still lives on to this day. In fact, today on eBay, I was amazed to see that the Beanie Baby named Princess Bear is selling for $500,000. Now talk about an ROI on a $10 toy. This past week, my adult daughter came to visit after graduating from college. She brought with her a gift of a Thai plush toy for her 9-year-old stepsister. This is 25 years after the Beanie Baby craze began, which was the same year that my daughter was born. On the opposite side of the viral leadership coin is that viral innovative ideas can be planned and structured. In this context, the epicenter of viral leadership can be directed, planned, and sought after. Zappos.com, a popular online shoe store, is a great example of a company intending to create viral customer service in the already existing competitive shoe market. The Coca-Cola Company is another strong model of planned viral innovation and leadership. After over 126 years in business, they continue to create new markets through innovative ways of introducing their product to the next generation. Innovation, in and of itself, is not enough for true success. Viral leadership must be implemented to explore and consider every possibility. There is an ancient Chinese proverb describing how 1,000 candles can be lit from the flame of just one candle, and the life of that candle will not be shortened. Viral leadership begins with you, the flame of that one single candle. Viral leadership must then spread and transform others by training team members and allowing them judgment-free opportunities and environments. This creates a very positive and dynamic work environment, as well as buy-in at all levels. This one single adjustment in you, the viral leader, is the starting point. This action soon multiplies success with team ownership of ideas, vision, and the opportunity for every stakeholder in the organization to contribute. The result becomes a perpetual motion machine of viral leadership, inspiring a culture of innovation and excitement. It motivates others to achieve a higher level of worthiness, success, and career contentment. And this is the wonderful thing about viral leadership. Now, not everybody can or should be a boss, but everyone can be a leader. A basis of esprit de corps, mentoring, and engagement is the true foundational environment to strive for. Viral leadership moves to a point where people no longer say, quote, "It's not my job," unquote, or, quote, "As soon as I get a better offer, I'm out of here," unquote. By providing truly non-judgmental opportunities and an optimistic environment, you will soon start to hear things like, quote, I love being a part of what we're doing, unquote. This is the result of synergetic viral leadership. This is, in part, the beauty of viral leadership, because it is so sustaining. It also allows for multiple transformations where change can be successfully handled. Now, the world is an ever-changing place. When Coca-Cola was first introduced in the 1800s, we had just endured the Civil War. We didn't have cars, we didn't have telephones, and we certainly didn't have the technology we have today. The Coca-Cola Company has sustained and adapted to every generation for over 160 years with a foundation of authenticity. IBM evolved products from punch card readers in 1911 into the personal computing era of the 1990s. Is your computer IBM compatible? The doorway through which you enter viral leadership leads to a new paradigm of sustaining results. To some extent, you can also view this as entering the doorway of self-recognition. The best place to start at becoming an effective viral leader requires self-evaluation and transformation. By meeting your deepest needs and then mastering each of the four quadrants we outline, you will be on your way to the ultimate viral leadership goal, which is creating and sustaining a lasting transformation in business. We do not study viral leadership because something needs to change, but because things are always changing. Now, let's open the door to the first quadrant and start creating viral teams. Part 2, Viral Leadership in Motion. Chapter 3, Quadrant 1, Creating Viral Teams. Now, I'm confident that most everyone reading this book has either owned, rented, or at least ridden in a Ford Taurus. Spanning three decades from 1986 to present, and with over 8 million cars sold, the Ford Taurus is an American icon. And as one of the best-selling cars in history, one can safely say that it has sold so well that it became viral. I once owned a 2001 Taurus. I remember buying it and thinking that it was the most average car I have ever owned. But I needed a comfortable and inexpensive car since at that time I was racking up the miles doing keynote speeches and training all over Texas and the Southwest. In 1 week, I could easily drive a couple of thousand miles, driving between Houston and Lubbock and then returning to my base in Wichita. I also recall eating more than my fair share of Doubletree cookies while on the road in my dandy Ford Taurus. Doubletree cookies while on the road in my dandy Taurus during my routine 8-hour drive home every Friday evening. Have you considered purchasing a new car within the last 5 or so years? No matter which model, I'm sure you've contemplated buying a shiny new Ford. They've offered great value, style, and reliability for many years. However, had I asked you this same question, say, 12 years ago, amid massive recalls, arbitration, dealers closing, and teetering on financial collapse, Ford probably wasn't in the running. So what made the difference between the strong and successful Ford Motor Company of today and the failing company that was dying on the vine? The answer, viral leadership. Throughout the 1980s and 90s, the Taurus was everywhere. It was the best-selling car in America in the early 1990s. But by the time I bought my football-shaped Taurus, it was no longer a car one picked to buy, but a car that picked you because of incentives, price point, or utility. It certainly wasn't the car of one's dreams. I ended up giving my car to my teenage son in 2006 when he was turning 16 and learning to drive. He finished it off within the first year. At around the same time I was handing the Taurus keys over to my son, something amazing was happening in Detroit. CEO William C. Ford III found hope for his flailing company and its over 200,000 hardworking employees. What he had found was a new CEO, one that was not from the auto industry. He was an aeronautical engineer named Alan Mulally, and, as it turns out, he was a viral leader who understood the power of now along with the value of viral team building. The first quadrant of viral leadership is viral team building, and Alan Mulally is going down in CEO history as one who was able to create a viral team working in unison and sharing his vision. His teams included every level of employee and stakeholder. On his first day as CEO, Mulally set out to see the product lineup, and the first thing he asked was, "Where's the Taurus?" The other executives pointed out that they had killed the Taurus after the recent football-shaped models flopped. They had assumed that the Taurus brand had run its course, and it was time to move on to something new. Now, although Mr. Mulally understood the value of branding, more importantly, he understood that things reach a critical mass, and with the right decision, can be sustainable. He also understood the power of now. Just prior to him taking over as CEO, the Ford Motor Company had reintroduced the 500 brand name off the Galaxy 500 brand from the 60s and 70s. Now, the 500 was never as well known as the Taurus, nor did it ever establish brand loyalty, especially those models in the 1990s. My stepfather had owned nothing but Tauruses in the 1980s and 90s, and while people wanted to love the car, they just didn't want the unreliability of the current car. As the new leader of Ford, Mulally's first directive was simple. Quote, "You've got until tomorrow to find a vehicle to put the Taurus name on, because that's why I'm here. Then you have 2 years to make the coolest vehicle that you can possibly make." Unquote. This aspect of the story of Ford's transformation is probably as important as anything else. Mulally understood that the only moment we have is right now and demanded instant action on what he perceived as a poor decision. He didn't second guess. He didn't hold a meeting on it. He made that decision and lived in the moment. Viral leadership is about knowing when to improve something rather than to change something. Viral leadership is about taking the momentum of a product or service and going deep rather than giving up. Although the Taurus never regained its sales momentum, it was used wisely by Ford as a showcase for emerging technology. And Mulally's vision as a mobile company partnered with communication and entertainment companies to make the mobile communication experience cutting edge, exclusive at that time to Ford vehicles. Another famous Mulally quote occurred when he was asked about being open to a merger. He replied, quote, "Yes, we're going to merge with ourselves," unquote. The action he took was to create, quote, one Ford out of the fragmented division that in many cases did not cooperate or coordinate. This included Ford of Asia, Ford of Europe, other divisions around the USA, and around the world. The result, one Ford, a company with more horsepower than a turbocharged 428 Cobra jet engine. What Mulally was doing from early on was creating viral teams while gaining the buy-in for the vision of a unified company. Mulally's tenure was filled with great decisions. Undoubtedly, he was a deliberate leader who was able to weigh each corporate option with the precision only a rocket scientist could do. He was the only American car manufacturing company executive who turned down government bailout money and didn't lead his company into bankruptcy. Mulally understood that government money always came with strings attached, and he clearly had a different set of strings to play. Although he has been hailed as the strategic leadership and business insight, it was his ability to be a transformational leader that truly predicated the change at the Ford Motor Company. In fact, a testament to the viral nature of his leadership is that over the years, numerous business books, journals, and magazine articles highlighting successful leadership look at his tenure at Ford and leadership style as something to emulate. A whole generation of new business leaders in MBA programs are studying exactly what separated Mulally from others not so successful CEOs and company leaders. Mullally embraced leadership as a privilege that encompassed positive vantage points. He wasn't hung up on what was wrong with the Taurus, but focused on what was right with the brand. Intentional or not, his appreciative nature was a signature of his leadership. He wrote, quote, "At the most fundamental level, it is an honor to serve, at whatever type or size of organization you're privileged to lead. Whether it's a for-profit or non-profit, it is an honor to serve. Starting from that foundation, it is important to have a compelling vision and a comprehensive plan. Positive leadership, conveying the idea that there is always a way forward, is so important, because that is what you are here for, to figure out how to move the organization forward. Critical to doing that is reinforcing the idea that everyone is included, everyone is part of the team, and everyone's contribution is respected, so everyone should participate." Mr. Mullally's vision and beliefs in this statement are the quintessence of viral leadership, and reminds me of another viral leader, Sir Richard Branson. Here's a couple of quotes from him that display his viral leadership philosophy. Quote, "Creating a business that really listens to the people is of paramount importance. Happy and thriving people make a happy and thriving business, which throughout my career has proven the best formula for success," unquote. And the other one, quote, "Take care of your employees and they will take care of your business," unquote. Now these quotes speak volumes about viral leadership building at every level. Employee loyalty, devotion, and buy-in is a hallmark of viral leadership. Mullally and Branson both understood that viral success is grounded on everyone being a part of the team. For Mullally to restore a car company, he focused on four things: creating a team who was virally enthusiastic about being a part of the solution, quadrant one. On the business side, he knew the viral possibilities of leveraged global assets and brought all divisions under one forward. He reinvented the business structure, quadrant two. Building cars that enthused customers and creating ownership and buy-in, quadrant three, and creating a sustainable finance plan without reliance on Uncle Sam. Now this changed the culture forever, which was quadrant four. Under the command of the new leader, Mullally required everyone at Ford become a team member, from the assembly workers to the executives, and from the dealer network to the financing team. Everyone, no matter what the position or title they held, was equally invested in the success of the company. This is a hallmark of viral leadership, creating loyalty and genuine concern for the overall success of the company. The team buy-in, or dedicated commitment, creates company-wide support at all levels, both vertically and horizontally, rather than preserving egos, bonuses, and status. While I was working on my doctorate in leadership, one of my mentors, Dr. Lloyd Bakke, asked me, quote, "How can we come alongside you and support you?" unquote. In fact, of all the things I learned about leadership in academia, this one line, a sincere question from Lloyd as I persevered through the doctoral process, had stuck with me more than perhaps any other lesson I had learned in a classroom. And this is what Mullally did to change the toxic culture of Ford, and what you can do to create viral enthusiasm and buy-in from every stakeholder in your organization. Chapter 4, Quadrant 2, Innovative Ideas. The second quadrant of viral leadership addresses innovative ideas. In 2006, I had my own viral success experience we can attribute to the innovative idea of YouTube. It all started when I called out for my son, "Ricky, I need you to help me move a bookcase in the office." But I got no answer. Now, I knew he was home. He didn't tell me he had any plans, and being too young to drive, he couldn't have gone anywhere. At that time, I was living in Andover, Kansas. Andover is just east of Wichita, and there really wasn't anywhere to go anyway. "Ricky," I called out again, "come help me." Still, no reply. As any parent of a teenager knows and understands, I had to go look for him. He wasn't in the kitchen, and he wasn't in the bathroom. Finally, I opened up the front door, and there he was lying in the grass with a can of spray paint in his hand, screaming about the ozone layer. A camera was set on a tripod, and I disrupted his concentration when I yelled out, "Ricky, what on earth are you doing?" "Dad," he said, "I'm making a video. There's this new thing on the internet called YouTube, and I want to make a video, and a lot of people will watch it." "Ricky," I said, "I have work to do, and I need you to help me move a bookcase in my office." "Okay, Dad, I'll be there in a minute," he said. I walked back into the house and back into my office and waited. It seemed like longer than a minute. Finally, Ricky showed up. Sensing my impatience and probably as a move to save his own hide, he blurted out, "You make videos, Dad. Do you want me to help you put them on YouTube?" Now, I had never been to the YouTube website before, and the desktop computer was on. He quickly set me down in my chair, showed me YouTube, and encouraged me to, quote, "put one of your videos up, Dad." I told him, "That's for kids, and I don't do anything silly in my videos." Now, at that time, I owned a company that produced training resources for other mental health professionals, and my videos consisted of teaching segments for counselors and therapists. I said, "Nobody will watch my videos. They're just for therapists." But, like father like son, Ricky's passion and tenacity convinced me to have a look at this silly YouTube fad. We sat together at the computer for the next hour and looked through the videos that I had for my classes. At the end of the day, we had uploaded a simple video of me guiding a class through a relaxation and stress management exercise. By morning, the video had almost 100 views, and I was amazed. Nay, in time, there were 1,000 hits, and I was shocked. Soon, the video seemed to take on a life of its own and eventually hit 10,000 viewers, and then 100,000 viewers. Now, when it cracked a 500,000, I was not only grateful to my son for teaching me about YouTube, I was watching my other videos gain tens of thousands of hits as well. And yes, eventually that original video post got over 1,000,000 views. But, more importantly than views, it gave me a connection. A connection at first to the YouTube community, but then to the people who benefited from my videos, who sent me emails, messages, and even looked up my phone number and called me. After years of toiling day to day as a therapist who trained other therapists, I was now an internationally known therapist, and I subsequently created an international organization for other professionals, and sharing with them the same techniques in worldwide classes that I was previously limited to sharing locally with other professionals. I traveled to Manchester, UK, in Canada, and coast to coast in the USA, discovering that viral content created connection. My and Ricky's little YouTube adventure that day, uploading that first video, resulted in the formation of an international professional organization that I preside over. We now have over 5,500 members worldwide and a cadre of leaders. Our leaders are highly trained to help others under the umbrella of the content that was in the first video. Innovation takes us beyond our initial goals, and viral leadership allows us to experience creative energy, which is a catalyst for lasting transformation. I look back at that first YouTube video and attribute that first share in 2006 to a note that I got today from one of our organizational leaders thanking me for teaching him how to influence others in positive ways. Innovative ideas lead to buy-in and lead to transformation. Sustainable success is quite possible, and from that seemingly innocent exploration years ago, I now have a powerful international organization that is changing lives in positive ways. Can leadership itself go viral? For the most part, the viral nature of the internet, until recently, was organic. In most cases, going viral was random, coincidental, or just plain luck. Back in 2006, YouTube gave us a platform that was explosive.